Reporter Nate Hedgie from the Mountain West News Bureau just pedaled 800 miles on his bike from Montana to Colorado, interviewing and listening to Americans ahead of the 2020 election. He made the trip in August and September, and he joins us now. Nate, we're glad you made it back in one piece. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and this is, by definition, is an exercise in slow journalism. Why did you get on a bike to make this trip when you could have done it any number of ways?
That is a great question, and there was definitely moments on the trip where I was wondering that exact question because I was hot and tired and exhausted. But I got on a bike because I wanted to slow the news cycle down to like a speed of 10 miles per hour, and I figured I'd just meet more people if I did it that way. And there was also a bicycle moves at about the speed of someone on horseback, and that's the way we experienced the West for, you know, centuries before the automobile. And so I wanted to experience this part of the rural West at that slow pace.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I love the concept. And the route from Missoula, Montana, which is your home base, through Idaho, Wyoming, and then ending in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, beautiful mountain town there. How did you chart it out?
Well, I wanted to follow the continental divide as a kind of metaphor for the political divide. And I knew I wanted to visit a lot of small towns and rural communities because there was a mantra back in 2016 that journalists weren't listening to folks in conservative small towns. And so I wanted to listen. My route was originally going to end in Greeley, Colorado, but there were wildfires. I was also waylaid by a snowstorm. And so I ended up in Steamboat Springs instead, because that was probably the safest place to end the whole journey, considering the fires and all the other weather wackiness.
And the other natural disaster that you're dealing with, of course, through all this is the pandemic. I assume a trip like this, you're going to start planning long before the outbreak happened. But tell me how that affected your trip and how people responded to that.
Yeah, so we originally planned this trip way back in January. I was going to ride from the Mexico border to the Canadian border, but then the pandemic hit. We scrapped the whole thing until about August, when the pandemic wasn't hitting very hard in this kind of section of the rural West, and we felt that it could be safe so long as I masked up and took all the social distancing precautions. And so I did, and you know, one thing you notice when you're riding through this part of the country is that, you know, yeah, there's a low caseload, but also nobody was wearing a mask. There was no social distancing. It seemed like business as usual. I mean, honestly, there were days that I forgot the pandemic was even happening. But that did frustrate some people, including this guy, Dave, who I met in Ledore, Idaho.
It sure is ridiculous that we've got political divisiveness based on a public health emergency. I mean, you know, I've actually had people talk about, yeah, wearing a mask, you're showing disrespect for the president. What is wrong with you?
You know, that's interesting, Nate, to hear Dave there from Idaho. And by the way, he didn't want to use his last name, partially because he was worried about criticizing people and talking politics. Did you hear a lot of that? People concerned expressing controversial ideas. Here's a guy who's in support, it seems, of wearing masks.
Right, yeah. And I did hear that at least a handful of times. I think when you're in any kind of homogenous society or town, you know, when you're surrounded by folks who may, you know, like the president when you don't like the president, or vice versa, that there's a concern that they will hear your interview on the radio and get angry at you, especially in a small town when everybody knows everybody. And folks really rely on helping each other out during a snowstorm or a power outage. And that's what kind of shook me about talking with Dave, is that, you know, he loves his small town because that's exactly what happens. You help people when, you know, there's a natural disaster or when you're stuck in a ditch or something else like that. And he was worried that people maybe wouldn't help him because of his politics, because he was wearing a mask and things like that.
You know, Nate, we're in such a moment in this country right now. The pandemic is going on, yes, but there's so many other things happening. What else did you hear? What other issues were important to people?
Growth and affordability, change, was something that everybody brought up in this part of the country, because the Mountain West is the fastest growing region in the nation. It's essentially gentrifying. You know, we've got rich people and remote workers from cities that have been buying up houses for years, and that's really ramped up during the pandemic. And so that's a big concern. You know, can I afford to rent in this town anymore? If I'm a line cook, I'm getting paid, you know, between $10 and $14 an hour, but my housing costs, you know, $350,000, $400,000 for a home. Similar issues, I guess, you'd be experiencing in San Francisco or New York, but happening in rural parts of the West. And then at a national level, polarization was also on everybody's mind. And I want to bring in some tape here from Ben Bardo in Du Bois, Wyoming.
It's way politically divided.
Have you ever seen something like this in your lifetime?
Never. Never this bad.
Where do you think it ends?
Revolution.
You think so?
I do. I think it's headed there. You know, the people are now waking up. They're tired of seeing what's going on in the cities burning under democratic rule. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, they aren't the only ones that matter. The Black Lives Matter is the most racist, progressive movement out there. And they're the, you know, they're cause of the destruction that's going on right now.
You know, Nate, I think that's a really important piece of tape to hear. It's interesting because I've actually been to Du Bois. It's a tiny little town. It's very remote. It's like 5.5 hours drive to Salt Lake City. And what you're hearing Ben Bardo say there is really what you hear Republicans say in almost any place around the country.
There almost seems to be a disparity between what's happening, you know, in someone's backyard, between what they're seeing nationally on TV. You know, Ben Bardo and others rely on Fox News and conservative talk radio for their information. And I think we've seen over the past few years the creation of boogeymen, whether it's Antifa or Black Lives Matter. And, you know, that might just be a political tactic for a president or elected officials. But these boogeymen are becoming really real for some folks. And it's surprising to see because, as you said, Bardo and others are literally hundreds, if not thousands of miles away from, you know, the cities that they're concerned about.
You know, to that end, I have spent many hours driving those roads in Wyoming as a reporter with Wyoming Public Radio years ago. And I'm thinking your point is to talk to people while you're there. But if you're riding a bike from, say, Du Bois to, I don't know, Laramie, for instance, you're going to be on the road for a really long time, just you and the pronghorn and the wind. I mean, what was that experience like to ride your bike through some of the most desolate parts of the lower 48?
Yes, it was incredibly lonely. And just saying pronghorn and the wind brings me right back because there were moments where all you saw were pronghorn antelope and just like a intense headwind blowing into your face. I had a lot of deep conversations with myself on the bicycle.
And with your body, I'm sure.
You end up talking to your knee and your butt and all the things that are screaming at you in pain. So really, really by myself.
How much weight did you lose? How many flat tires did you get?
Oh, yeah. No, I lost less weight than I was kind of hoping I was going to lose because I think I put that weight back on by eating a lot of burgers and drinking beer. Fritos and bean dip was definitely like my go-to food because a lot of times you're not going to grocery stores because, as you said, these places are pretty far apart and you'll just go to a gas station and pick up whatever you can. And I had one flat tire at the worst possible time, which was there was a cold front, a snowstorm coming in, and I was trying to get down to Du Bois, Wyoming, and the tire kept going flat, and I'd pump it up and it would go flat, so I was being chased by a really intense snowstorm until I got to a little motel there.
Wow. So Missoula, Montana to Steamboat Springs, Colorado, 800 miles under your belt. What's your takeaway? What'd you learn on this trip?
I got excited about America again. I think that we're a quilt of all these little towns all stitched together. And right now there are forces that are trying to pull that quilt apart. And it is fraying. But we have a lot more in common than we like to think or that we believe we do. And I think that we could benefit by paying a little bit more attention to what's happening in our own backyards and less attention to the national news and the really divisive rhetoric that's happening during this election.
Nate Hedgie, host of the new podcast Facing West from the Mountain West News Bureau, biked 800 miles through four western states in August and September, talking to people about the country, about the election. We're going to link you to his work at hereandnow.org. Nate, thank you.
Thanks for having me.